We continue our learning Lilunishmas Hindu Basel Yakima Kohen, David Mimanachamunush and Hamiakov and Pinchos Elio. We are in Shvi's Perik Dal and Mishnah Gimel. Chochrin Nirin Minha Ovde Kochavin Bashvis Avalomi Yisrael. Says the Mishnah. Chochrin, we may remember the word Chocher from earlier Masechtos. Mishnah speaking about contracting. A Jew is allowed to contract during the Shemitah year to rent a plowed field from a non-Jew for the eighth year. So he's going to set a contract now during the Shemitah year, and he's going to rent this plowed field so that he, the Jew, can use it, this non-Jew's field in the eighth year. Now, what's the issue? So the contract is actually, part of the contract is that the field is going to be ready for planting by the beginning of the eighth year, the year after Shemitah. So obviously the non-Jew during the Shemitah year is going to have to plow it, but this is allowed. And that's because the non-Jew is plowing the field during the Shemitah year. He's not doing it for the Jew. He's doing it for himself. So this way he can rent it and get a higher price from the Jew. So since the non-Jew is doing it on his own behalf and not on behalf of the Jew, so it's not a problem of violation of Shemitah, and the Jew is allowed to enter into this chachirus, into a chocher, this type of contract. We remember a chocher is supposed to an aris, is where there's a fixed rent for a field. He's paying it obviously in produce, but it's a fixed amount, not a percentage as a sharecropper does, but a fixed amount. And a nir is a plow field. So that's what Mishnah means. Chochrin nirin min ovdei kochavim bashvius avalom Yisrael. Now, meaning it's allowed from a non-Jew, but you're not allowed to rent a plowed field for the eighth year from a Jew who plowed it during the Shemitah year against Halacha. This, if you remember from the previous Mishnah, this is part of the knas, part of the penalty that we impose upon a Jew who plows the field during the Shemitah year against Halacha. So this Jew is not permitted to plant in the eighth year. So that's why you're not allowed to rent it from him, because you're not allowed to rent a field that was to plant it when it's coming from a Jew who plowed it during the Shemitah year. Mishnah continues, Umachzikin Yidei Ovdei Kochavim Bashvius. You're allowed to literally strengthen the hands of a non-Jew during the Shemitah year. It means to encourage him. He sees a non-Jew who's plowing his field during the Shemitah year, which we know a non-Jew is allowed to do. We have every right to encourage him and wish him, give him a bracha, wish him success. That's what I mean, Machzikin Yidei Ovdei Kochavim Bashvius. Avalo Yidei Yisrael. If a Jew is plowing his field during the Shemitah, you are not permitted to encourage him and give him a bracha, etc. Some Farshim say that should be obvious to us, but the Chiddush of the Mishnah is even when the plowing is allowed. If you remember, in certain emergency situations, we allow, let's say, the tax decree, as you remember from the second Mishnah earlier. So then it's we relax the prohibition. Nonetheless, we shouldn't be giving brachos of hatzlacha to the Jew, even though he's permitted to do so. Plow. Vishal and Vishloman. Person, Mishnah says we're allowed to see how they're doing, and we'll see what that means. Bnei Darke Shalom, in order to keep the peace. What does it mean? So Gemara in Gittin on Daf, Samach Beis, Oman Aleph, understands that the Mishnah here is speaking about a non-Jew, which means that, and this has nothing to do with Shemitah, this is simply inquiring of how a non-Jew is doing. So Mishnah says that's something that we should do and we can do, even though and even on his religious holiday, but it can't be where we're doing with such exuberance, such enthusiasm, but we're certainly allowed to greet them. Yushami has another explanation as well. It means that we're allowed to wish a non-Jew success on his plowing. Now, why would I think otherwise? Because maybe we should avoid a friendship with non-Jews. Perhaps they will be won't be a positive influence upon us. Nonetheless, we're permitted to say hello, to wish them success, to give and ask them rather shalom b'shlomon, to ask them how they're doing. Another explanation Yushami offers is that we're talking about a particular greeting of shalom, which is a halakha we speak about when it comes to an avel greeting, where shalom falls into a very different category. Since it's a reference to Hashem's name, so we shouldn't necessarily be conferring Hashem's name upon a person. So maybe we would have thought it's not appropriate to use that as a greeting for someone, let's say, who's violating halakha. So the Mishnah here says that, or maybe a non-Jew. So the Mishnah says that that's permitted. However, there are those who disagree, because it seems from the Gemara, Maseches Gittin, according to the Bavli at least, that you're not allowed to greet a shalom, using shalom if it's a Jew who is violating the halachas. So the Mishnah can't mean shalom b'shloma. We can actually say the word shalom in that type of greeting to a Jew who's violating the halachas. There are different ways to explain the Mishnah means, but the Mishnah uses the phrase m'nei darkei shalom. Darkei shalom, based on the pasuk Dorcha Darkei Noam v'chol nisiv osea shalom, there are circumstances where, even though we would have thought otherwise, we shouldn't be greeting people, and according at least to the simple explanation, is speaking about a non-Jew, according to the Bavli, even on a religious holiday, for Darkei shalom purposes, we're permitted to do so. Perek Dalet Mishnah Dalet, Hamedel Bazesim, a person thins out olive trees. So we're speaking about a person who is actually removing trees from his olive grove. As the trees continue to grow and they become very dense, and the area is, we have a lot of volume of trees, so then they are unable to draw nourishment from the ground as well as if they were separated a little bit more. So there would be, people would remove some of the olive trees so that the ones that were remaining could grow better. So the Mishnah says, regarding removing these trees during the Shemitah year, so the Mishnah says to allow the other ones to grow, that's what we call Meidel. So now, removing trees itself is no particular violation of Shemitah. There is an issue, of course, of destroying fruit trees, of Baal Tashchis, based on the Psukim Shoftim, but here, where they obviously it's to the benefit of the other trees so that they grow, so we allow it. Mishnah, nonetheless, doesn't want us to remove the trees, even though there's no particular issue of removing trees during the Shemitah year, because we don't want it to look like that a person is actually working the land. So the Mishnah here, therefore, says, Hamedil Bazesim Beishamay Oim Yogom. What should you do in order to avoid it looking like you're working the field? You cut it down. You cut the trunk very close to the ground, but you're not allowed to pull out the roots. Pulling out the roots, you would have to dig, and then it would look like you're working the ground. Beisilom Misharesh. Beisilom says, no, you're allowed to remove even the roots. We're not afraid to look, and you may are going to have to dig to do that. You're allowed to remove the roots completely of these olive trees that you want to get rid of to make more space. We're not worried about working, that it looks like working the land. One thing to keep in mind is that there is a comment of the Tosfos Yontif where he wonders, you know, removing these olive trees should be very similar to the idea of pruning. And the Torah says los is more, because when I thin branches, so that's, when we do so, we're really stimulating growth. And maybe there should be no difference between removing these trees and pruning trees, which is an Isser d'Oraisa. So therefore, according to the Tosfos Yontif, we would understand that the Mishnah here is speaking about, like the Rambam understands it, that I'm actually removing the wood for the purposes of using the wood. So that's the case. My intention is different. Maybe that would be less of an issue. Mishnah continues and says, Umodim b'machlik ad sheyagom. What does it mean? Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai that if you are machlik, means a person's clearing out too many trees, and therefore he's machlik from the word smooth, as a very smooth area that doesn't have the interruption of trees at all, Beis Hillel would agree, that looks like I'm clearing the area of trees to plant, and they agree with Beis Shammai that you're not allowed, that if you did so, you were machlik, you removed a significant number of trees, we'll see what that number is. So then you would have to, if you would want to cut down, you can't uproot the tree completely. You can cut down until the trunk, until the roots. Ezu ha-meidil, what's considered meidil, which we allow, according to Beis Shammai, to cut down to the root, and Beis Hillel says you can uproot it completely. Echad u'shnayim, that's where I remove one or two adjacent olive trees. But hamachlik, how much is that? Shlosha. That is actually three. And the Mishnah says, Zebitzadzeh, where they're adjacent, to uproot three trees, Beis Hillel would not allow. Beis Hillel would agree to Beis Shammai. Then once it's three trees, once it's machlik, more than meidil, then you cut it down, but do not allow you to uproot it, because then it really looks like I'm preparing the field for planting. Mishnah concludes, Avol mitoch shel chavero, af ha-machlik yisharesh. But if it's cutting wood from someone else's property, then you can uproot even three trees in a row. Because we know a person, once again, is not suspected of preparing someone else's field for planting purposes, and therefore that would be allowed. And also, he's certainly not going to improve the growth of his friend's grove either. So therefore, this would be permitted.